You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee. The show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee, and in the studio with me, looking like Deputy Dog, is Ronnie V.
Hey, y'all.
And Miss C.
Well, hello there.
Okay, so 4th of July, yesterday.
We ain't do nothing.
Yeah, we didn't, did we?
Didn't do nothing.
Didn't do anything, but it's okay, though. You know, some
it's
days,
not okay.
Some days you need to just, you know, chill.
No.
Chill.
I was at work. It should have been somebody's grill fired up. It is no, for y'all, for
it
those
was.
Of y'all
just didn't know who
didn't go to work, it was no excuse why you shouldn't have been cooking on the grill. You should be ashamed of yourself. Ashamed of yourself.
We are. That's why we wear clothes.
Notice how she didn't cook on the grill either.
I was at work.
Yeah, but you got off work early.
And came home to nothing.
Yeah, but you could have.
And other people home.
But you could have started that grill and said, everyone, come on over.
I ain't had no taco.
Okay, well, you work at a grocery store, so they have plenty.
I ain't had no food.
They were they have plenty of food as well.
I know, but I don't want to get fired for taking food and charcoal.
Well, yeah, we don't recommend that at all. So, but yeah, I mean, I didn't go see the fireworks. I was going to, but then I was like,
we heard them, but they never reached the sky.
Yeah, it was very loud here. So,
and then sometimes you be so scared, you don't know if it's fireworks or guns.
That's true. That is true. I don't know. So anyway, happy belated 4th of July to everyone. Happy birthday to the United States of America.
Whatever.
And all that. And all that. So Governor Roy Cooper has just signed the brunch bill into law. For those of us who live here and others who are aware, on Sundays, we cannot buy alcohol before 12 o'clock here in North Carolina. Y'all didn't know that, right?
Yes.
Yes, I experienced that every Sunday.
Of course you knew that. By signing the brunch bill into law, it allows restaurants and bars to sell liquor starting at 10 a.m. on Sundays now. I don't know about the stores. I think stores too, but this is like restaurants and bars. Now, they're calling it the brunch bill because most brunches start around 10 a.m. on Sundays.
That's lunch and breakfast together.
Exactly. So around 10, usually they go from like 10 to 3 for brunch. And they serve like mimosas. Y'all know what mimosas mm-hmm. are. What is a mimosa?
When it's mixed.
Mixed. Well,
the
what
orange
is mixed?
Juice mm-hmm. and something.
Champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And Bloody Marys, which I think are the most disgusting thing in the world, which is tomato juice and vodka. That is so disgusting
it
to
is.
Me. But people love Bloody
yes,
Marys.
Yes.
They love them. And then they got a nerd that had a celery stalk.
And like what's that for? To stir it up?
I have no idea.
Yeah, to stir it up and give it a little flavor.
I have no idea. So all of you alcoholics and drunks, mm-hmm, you can get drunk sooner now.
Yeah.
On Sundays.
Now you have to see how many.
Well, it's true.
You have to see how many returns we have to put up before 12 o'clock. Just because taking beer back all day.
Because they don't know that you can't buy it.
Yes, they do. It'd be the same ones every Sunday.
So what do they think? You're going to forget?
Every Sunday. And then like some. Well, it's 11:55. Well, you got 5 more minutes. Because even if we scan it in the register, it's not going to allow you to sell
it. Right. Well,
the system knows it's not 12 o'clock.
That would make sense. That would make
sense. And they be mad with us. Be ready to fight.
Oh, well. You're going to have to stay. 12 o'clock.
Smelling like. But some people, now they lining up. They shop. And then at 12:00, they line up.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. Now, this doesn't change anything about the ABC stores. So the ABC stores are still not open on Sunday, but
not here in North Carolina.
Right. But I did read that they might be changing that as well, which I don't understand why not.
They're opening Top Sale, I believe, on Sundays.
No ABC store in North Carolina is open on Sunday.
None.
Really? It is.
They sell halves.
In the grocery stores, probably, but not the ABC stores are not.
No, I'm saying that. I was thinking that they're open on Sunday, but it's not. It's just that they sell halves. You know, they don't sell half pints.
Who's open on Sunday? What do you mean?
I said I was thinking that Top Sale was open on Sunday, the ABC store, but it's not. What I'm remembering is that they sell half pints. Okay. We don't sell half pints here.
I think Miss C was thinking about the liquor houses.
I don't know about liquor houses. Okay, I don't know about liquor houses per se.
Well, yeah, so here in North Carolina, there are no ABC stores open on Sundays.
Okay.
In any city or town in the state of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But that might be changing as well. That might be changing. So you guys remember remember the guy that played Lucius Lyon's half-brother on Empire?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the one that got killed.
Name is Tariq. Remember the mama stabbed him
the
in
the
neck?
The one who had, was sitting in the bed. Yeah.
That mother is a lunatic.
Cool for Coco Puffs.
Her name is Margaret Avery.
No, that's what Leslie Uggams. That's the famous Leslie Uggams. Margaret Avery is Suge Avery.
Right.
From The Color Purple. Yeah. That's not Suge. That's Leslie.
It looked like she could be Suge's mom, though.
Oogum, boogum, oogum, boogum. That was her song, really. The oogum, boogum song. Oh, Leslie Uggams?
Uggams? Yeah,
that was her song.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No, it won't.
Okay. I need you because, you know. Well, his real name is Morocco Omari.
I've seen that name before.
Well, if you watch Empire, you probably saw him.
Yeah, but I mean from something else. Okay, continue.
Well, back in April of this year, he was arrested on domestic battery charges in Chicago. Police were called to the Hyde Park neighborhood on Chicago's South Side by a 24-year-old woman who identified herself as Omari's girlfriend. She told officers Omari pushed her to the ground several times during an argument, causing scratches on her neck and chest.
She kept springing back up.
Probably. Yeah. He wanted her to stay down. Yeah. Man down.
Oh, come on.
Man down. So what is going on with these men beating these women? What's his name? Nick Gordon beating up his girlfriend.
He got a girlfriend.
Yeah, remember we talked about it.
A fiance.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's what she
you know
said.
What's wrong? Because these women are not standing up for themselves. The same way that they can put their hands. The same way they can put their hands on you, you put their hands right back on them. You kick them. You kick them, you choke them, you scratch their eyeballs out.
How about some hot grip?
You put up a fight.
How about some hot grip?
Because you know what? You know what turns people on sometimes? The weakness of somebody, whether it's a man or a woman.
Well, yeah.
And you know, they keep just doing stuff. You ain't got one time to hit me.
They do.
One time.
They really do. They really do.
I taught you well then.
Because I knocks them out.
Knock them out the box, Rick.
I'm trying to tell you.
I don't get what's going on here. And then these celebrities, you know, they are really like putting celebrities in jail now. It was a time before when, you know, celebrities got away with stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, that time is gone.
Yeah.
And especially if you're a black celebrity.
Yeah. You know, they said Terrence Howard was whooping up one time on one of his
lives. I did hear that. That was never proven, but I did hear that he was involved in some domestic violence with one of his wives.
Yeah, remember it was something on the cell phone where he was telling this guy what he would do to him because the guy called his wife. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is wrong?
You know what I want to talk about.
What do you want to talk about? That's coming.
Ooh.
That's coming. That's coming. That's on the list.
What?
Hold your horses.
Not Terrence Howard Lilla.
No. So, we brought you a story a couple of weeks ago about the Wake County Register of Deeds and how the state found out that a lot of money had been missing from that department.
$600,000.
I had nothing to do with it.
Well, we learned now that the former Register of Deeds herself, Laura Riddick, is now at the center of the investigation.
Yes, she is.
Now, if you recall, we told you she quit on April 1st of this year, citing health problems. But I told you, Ronnie V.
You did.
I told you. I said she ain't got no health problems. Mm-hmm, I said she is guilty, and she is running from the law.
But what did I tell you 2 years ago when I was working there?
Yeah, you did.
I said it is some very unethical stuff going down in this department.
You did. You said it.
I battled. I end up quitting. Because, like I said, I wasn't going to be linked to anything, but it wasn't even just
about money.
But you
didn't know
money.
What was yeah. happening back then.
It wasn't right. about money then. It was just ethical decisions and stuff that was being made that shouldn't have been. But when we worked and when we got off at 5 o'clock, they would take all of our money out of all the registers and just bundle them up, put a rubber band on it. Like, you don't know what register had what. You don't have no totals at the end. Like, what business is ran like that? How do you tally up money at the end of the day and have no numbers to account for?
Well, here's the thing. Excuse me. Now, I will say before we go further that she has not been charged with the crime. They are still in the investigation. So, you know, even though she's at the center of it, mm-hmm. still no charges have been brought against her. And, you know, the investigation is still going on. But now speaking to what you were talking about, the protocol was that at the end of the day, as I understand, somebody would come by and take all the money from the cashiers, right?
All the money except for $50.
$50. And they would just give it to Miss Riddick
yes.
without counting it.
Yes.
That was protocol.
Yes.
Which, that was silly to have just one person, really.
Well, no. I don't think they was counting. I think they was, like, just separating the money
from
the
change
and the checks.
They weren't. Well, what happened was, now, she was the first person to make a daily count and written record of the money received. So I'm just giving it to you. I don't know how much is in exactly. that I'm giving you. So then she would then supposedly count it mm-hmm. and then say, okay, well, we got XYZ
exactly.
that day. Now, what started happening was that employees noticed that the deposits were way lower than expected.
Mm-hmm.
And without her knowing, they started counting the money before they gave it to her. Mm-hmm. And they started seeing that after the money left the office, it was lower than what was counted.
Mm-hmm.
So they give it to her. She would take whatever she was taking. And out. It's
not knowing that they had already been
exactly.
counting the money.
Uh-huh. And so then the thing that went to the bank was this amount.
Yeah.
Well, they knew. Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to have been more
now, we done
than
counted
that.
This
yeah.
before we gave it to you. Yeah. Now, they said that between $200 and $800 a day
mm-hmm.
would be missing.
Exactly.
A day. In an 8-day period, because this is when they did that sting operation.
Mm-hmm. That no one knew about.
In an 8-day period, more than $3,980 in cash mm-hmm. was missing.
Yes. And you know what's crazy? So right around the time that I resigned, Matt, he was under Miss Riddick. He ended up leaving, and I don't know if it had anything to do with the cash, but just to say he found another job, Mr. Black came into his place. This is all in the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
And once,
and you know these people personally,
yes,
right?
Because yes, worked there. Yes, talked to several of them yesterday. And once, you know, he just started going through just day-to-day financial things and start looking and seeing things weren't adding up.
Okay, so hold on. So who is Matt?
Matt, like, so he was under Miss Riddick.
Okay.
So he left, got another job. Mr. Black stepped into his place.
Oh, okay.
So they're the person that's right under Miss Riddick. So whatever you call it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when he realized that the numbers were not matching and brought it to Miss Riddick's attention.
She
made him resign.
Okay, but how did she make him resign? What did she do?
What was told to me from a very, very, very valuable source is that she kind of shunned him. She started talking very negative about him, said that she made a bad decision by hiring him, and he came with great credentials. But all of a sudden, you know, this is not the decision I should have made. You know, he's this and he's that.
Because he basically said, hey, some money is missing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
she asked
for an audit. And she refused. She refused. Next thing you know, he comes in and they're asking him to resign.
They who?
Miss Riddick. That's in the newspaper also.
So, okay. So he didn't think to, something's up with this. Something's not right. He didn't think to speak out like.
I'm thinking he did. This is why everything is going on now.
Okay.
He had to. Like, I don't believe he just left, you know, without bringing
So maybe he's the whistleblower. Exactly. So maybe he's the one now.
Exactly.
The reason why, you know, all of this is out in the open now.
Yes. And the guy that, when there was one person that admitted to taking $50,000.
$50,000.
And this is just what he admitted to. And, you know, and he's one of my friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I spoke with him. And he was saying that on the days that he know that he took money from, you know, leaving from the office and carried it to Ms. Reddick, the next morning everything would show even.
Yeah, because she
And he knew he took money.
Right. Because if she brought attention to him stealing money, then it would also bring attention to her stealing money.
Exactly.
We're going to take our first break. We will be right back in just a moment. You're listening to This Is How We See. Are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Before we went to break, we were talking about the huge investigation of the North Carolina Register of Deeds office. Now, for those of you who don't know about the Register of Deeds, any type of legal document needed, birth certificates, death certificates, mm-hmm. marriage license,
deeds,
any of deeds, mortgages. Like home mortgages. The Register of Deeds is the one who files, where they keep the files and they disperse the documents. Exactly. Like they'll give you whatever document.
I think they bond you too.
The who?
Bond you, don't they?
Why would they bond
you?
Bonded.
I was bonded through the Register of Deeds.
No.
No.
Where was I bonded at?
You might
I
don't have been, know. But you
first
might have
of
been.
All, why were you arrested?
Not bond out. Oh. You know, like a certain amount of money is entrusted to you. You have to be bonded.
That might be at the State of Treasury. It wasn't done in Register D.
I don't know.
It was at.
Well, that's the office that because when I got the deed, well, not the deed to my home, but the deed to my home, it had Laura Riddick on it. Mm-hmm. And so any type of business documents that mm-hmm. you have, she's, you know, all of that is housed at the Register of Deeds. And so every day people walk in there and pay their money.
Yes.
Because they're getting marriage licenses. They're, you know, if
what
you
about
want
to gun permits. Is her name on
that's there? The sheriff's office.
No. What is the latest name that's on our gun?
The sheriff. Yes. The sheriff office is the gun permit person, not the Register of Deeds.
Yeah, but it's the latest name on my permit thing.
Okay. They have all that. That's the register. So people walk in every day and, you know, they want this, they want that. So it's like hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars that come through there. And you were saying before we went to break, Ronnie V, that, you knew of the black, what's his name? Somebody black?
Mr. Black.
Mm-hmm. He didn't necessarily confront her. But he said,
he inquired about money that wasn't adding up, you know. But this is what I don't understand. Like, Ms. Riddick doesn't handle day-to-day operations. She don't handle accounting. You know, for the money to go back to her anyway, what was the purpose?
We now know the purpose.
I'm just saying, I don't understand. You had people that was in the office day to day that handled the accounting stuff, the money, the, you know, maps, deeds.
Sure.
You know, you had people that handled that. So I never understood what the purpose of that was either. All that I know is at the end of the day, $50 was left in my drawer and everything
and
else was taken
up. Somebody
came
and got the rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so he went to Ms. Riddick and said, hey, some money is missing. This something's going on. We need an audit.
Yeah.
And so she basically forced him because the Register of Deeds is an affected. She is. Well, that position is an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And so she forced him to resign.
And you know what I'm thinking about now? So you remember the time is about a year ago. The IT guy that we had working there at the time, Neely, you know, he got arrested for going through her personal emails.
He had a reason for going through those emails.
I always thought that you're not just going through her emails for, it was something that he was trying to uncover.
He got wind of something, or he saw some type of something and wanted to investigate.
What happened to him?
He ended up getting charged. He didn't do any jail time or anything like that. But he was charged with
An official's emails. Yeah.
He was charged, but I don't think it was severe because it was personal. He wasn't doing her business. He was doing her personal emails. Mm-hmm. You know, IT, they set up everything, and but he was charged.
There's a reason.
But it was
there's
like probation. He only got probation and fines.
There's a reason he did that, and I'm wondering if he saw he didn't see something back then.
He wasn't just going through it.
Why? Like, why would he be wanting to go through her personal emails
exactly.
in the first place?
Exactly. Mm. And it was another guy that was working with him that was never uncovered, out in the open. But it was another guy that was working there also that ended up leaving right around the time this happened.
Okay.
And we're thinking that he was, because he wasn't working by himself. Right. He wasn't doing it by himself. But right. We never knew who the other person was as far as them, you know, coming out with it.
And the thing about this that really kind of gets me is that position makes $140,000 a year. Mm-hmm. She was being paid $140,000 a year. That is a good salary.
She ran 8 years consecutively.
And you have to, 8 terms, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a 2-year term. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't live off $140,000 a year? You had to steal money?
Well, that was over 12 months, period, when you can get $600,000 at one time.
But just think about this, though. They only went back 2 years.
See?
You think they're not going to go back further now?
Well, it said
is only $600,000.
The article said it. The article said they are now going back. Because, come on, she just didn't start in the last 2 years. Again, people, she has not been convicted. The investigation is still ongoing. So exactly. I want people to understand that, you know, where, you know, she hasn't been convicted of any type of
and
crime.
Anything that has her name on it is gone out of that office. Everything.
Like what? What do you mean?
Anything that her name was still on, paperwork, anything, they have replaced all of that.
Really? So have they, is there someone in her place?
Yes.
Oh, who is this?
I don't know this guy. It's something. It's Luther something.
Oh, okay.
It was a total of 16 people that applied for the position, and he got it. And it was somebody that kind of came close that was like off by 3 votes. But whoever this guy is, I don't know this guy, but he got it.
See, and you know, when you were telling us about the girl, the really mean mm-hmm. clerk, I kept saying how she would. I mean, you said that she would even like cuss out the customers mm-hmm. that came in
yes.
and nothing was ever done about her.
Nothing. She had been reported. So many turnovers at Register D's, and majority of them was because of this girl. Nothing was ever done. Nothing was ever done to her. You know, they kind of just swept it under the rug. I'm talking about malicious things.
Yeah.
You know, unprofessional. And she's been there for 8 years. And I bet you she has something to do with it too.
I told you
she handled money also.
I told you. I said she knows something on this lady, and that is the reason why that's the reason why she won't get rid of her. There is no way that you can keep somebody working in a place like that. I mean, you're talking about like a government office.
Exactly. She wasn't even qualified to be there.
Well, and she's cussing. The customers.
I mean, you had
out.
Lawyers that were trying to come for her, like in front of everyone, and nothing was done. Nothing at all was done.
But you know what?
Because Miss Riddick wouldn't let nobody
do
anything too.
You remember when I came to you? Because I struggled with leaving, and you kept saying, "Why don't you just go to Human Resources?"
Right.
For those of y'all don't know, being that Miss Riddick was an elected official, we had a separate human resource department. We didn't have the same department that the people for the state went to or the government went to. It was a separate one that was for their reasons. Like, for example, the time when it snowed, when the entire courthouse was closed, the whole downtown area was closed, we had to come to work. And she could make that decision because she was an elected official. We had to go to work.
But she still, I still believe, and I need to do some research on this, mm-hmm. but I still believe that the Secretary of State is over her. Because
you remember you told me to look into that.
I do, because on like my business license and stuff, mm-hmm. it's signed by the Secretary of State. Now, the licenses are housed at the Register of Deeds probably, but it's signed by mm-hmm. the Secretary of State. I think that office reports into the Secretary of State.
I should have did a little more in digging, but you remember the night that we passed the same sex marriage?
Yeah.
You know, we stayed open to 12:30 a.m. that night.
Yeah.
Just imagine how much money came through that night.
Can you imagine?
I can. I was there.
I bet you the whole $100,000 was taken that day.
One particular day.
Right. I mean, just a mess. Yeah. I mean, $140,000, and you are so greedy that you can't even live off $140,000. I could live well off $140,000 mm-hmm. a year.
Is she married with kids?
Yes, she's married. Oh, I don't know about kids.
She has one daughter.
I think
daughter.
She's 50, early 50s, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's a young-looking lady.
Mm-hmm.
She really is. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, guys. It's a shame. It's
suspect. That's what it is.
It is, and we will keep you guys abreast on the investigation.
And I will only talk about what is already revealed. I will not tell anything that is not already out in the papers, just to let you guys know.
16-year-old Haley Burns went missing from her parents' home a year ago in Ballantyne, North Carolina. I had never heard of that before, Ballantyne. I think it's like a well-to-do, wealthy little section of North Carolina. She was found a year later at the home of 31-year-old Michael Wysolowski in Duluth, Georgia. He has now been charged with kidnapping. Now, here is where it gets a little bit odd to me. Okay. Very odd to me. Haley, the 16-year-old, reached out to a woman in Romania on social media and told the woman that she had been missing from her parents' home last year. Okay.
So she couldn't do that.
Okay. So this woman, the woman in Romania, and the neighbors said, "We saw her all the time unloading groceries out of the car."
So it ain't like she felt like she was taken under her wheel.
And said that she would wave and speak. So that's why the neighbors are saying, we had no idea that this girl was kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Quotations.
Uh-huh. Now, the lady in Romania reached out to Haley's parents here in North Carolina. Okay. And then they got in touch with the authorities, and the authorities went to the home in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she was rescued. And we will talk more about this when we come back. We'll be back in a moment. Stay right with us.
Can you remember the times we spent together, sharing the days in the sun? But then I found out that you were somebody else's lover. After all our plans were made, now the shadow. But still I'm
are back. Thanks for coming back with us. So continuing the story about the North Carolina missing teen. So as I told you, she went missing from her parents' home in Ballantyne, North Carolina. She was found at the home of a 31-year-old man in Duluth, Georgia.
A year later.
So she reached out to a woman in Romania on social media. So she had access now to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
told the lady that she had been missing. She had been taken from her mother's home. Lady called the mother. Mother called police. The police go to the house and they rescue her. So here's my question. If she was able to reach out to the Romanian woman, why was she not able to reach out to her family?
Neighbors, why, anybody.
Exactly. Why was she not able to? Because her mother certainly has a Twitter feed, because the mother, when she came home, the mother tweeted, she's home now. And there's no way she didn't know her mother's, you know, like
she was
Twitter
mad
address.
At that guy.
And
at the
she
time.
Probably had friends her age that she knew, you know, they're.
My point. So you had access to a computer. He wasn't like, he didn't keep you. Then the neighbors saw you waving and unloading
grocery.
Why didn't you yell and scream then? He kidnapped me. You know what I'm saying?
A whole year.
So.
And was he still going to work and everything
normal? I think so. It didn't say, but I'm pretty sure. So. To me, now I'm not, you know, H.I. Private Eye, or I'm not Sherlock Holmes, but it just doesn't seem to me that she was taken against her will. You know what I'm saying? Because you've had ample. Now I could see if he kept her locked up in the basement.
Exactly.
And didn't let her out. Exactly. Yeah. You didn't have access to a phone or computer or whatever. I get that. But you clearly had access to computers and. You could have told the neighbors if you didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this. The law says that a minor cannot consent to being taken across state lines.
So even if she agreed,
if she agreed to it, he was still in the wrong and breaking the law. But. Can you call, I guess you can call it a kidnapping, but not in the sense of she was taken against her will.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose he didn't know how old she was.
Well, didn't say that. That's a possibility. Because when she was found, she was 17. 16 when she was taken, but when she was found, she was 17
when she rode with him across state lines.
See, that's what I'm thinking
too.
And could
look. 18, 19, or 20.
Well, Lord knows that's the truth, because I've seen some of these young children now. I've seen 16 to 17-year-old boys with beards.
Yeah.
I see it all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, he's still in trouble anyway, because.
So what is he charged with? Only kidnapping?
Yes.
No.
They didn't know. It's just kidnapping.
You remember the movie when the lady. Pretended to be a nurse and stole the baby from the hospital.
Yeah.
And they found her when she was older, like, what, 18, 19?
Kiki Palmer was the one, yeah.
Like, you know, like, at the end of that movie, I kind of still struggled with, like, she still wanted to have a relationship with her. That was her
because
mom.
Because that's the only mama she knew.
But that's just crazy, though.
Why?
I mean, she
have come to love this woman.
No, it's not crazy that she still loved her, but crazy to... Like
it's called
to have a regular relationship with the parents that you never knew.
Well, remember,
and
she didn't know
love.
She was kidnapped.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not Stockholm syndrome, because she didn't know that she was kidnapped. See, Stockholm syndrome is when the kidnapped person like gets on the side of the person who kidnapped them, and you know it's for them. But that's not her, because she just didn't know.
It was her
right.
Mom.
She didn't know. I do kind of
It's crazy because, I mean, she can't cut off loving this woman who's she's only known her whole life. But then, like, she can't even really have that relationship with her real parents.
Right.
Because of the love that she had for this woman that she was still going to see in prison.
But she did, though. She
showed up to court
had,
and was like, I want, you know, leniency, you know. Like, she didn't feel like she should have got any jail time. You remember at the end she said that?
Yeah, but I think she did.
And then her,
she was in prison when the girl.
And then
was
her, and then her mom's family, you know, still embraced her as cousins, and you know,
that was just
crazy to me.
It's a bit odd that, you know, you would think that once she found out she had been taken, she would be upset.
You can't cut off feelings like that.
Well, but she wasn't even upset about it though, was she? I don't remember her being upset.
Mm-mm. She wasn't.
Yeah.
She was and first. You know, she fussed her out.
Did she?
Yeah. Look at the movie.
I don't remember that.
But it was just like, okay, after that, that's still my mom.
Yeah. Which, you know, I wonder if she's still in prison now. I wonder, does she go visit her?
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't been that long ago.
I believe she did. You know, she had a daughter. You know, that was her grandchild, regardless.
Yeah. Hmm. Very odd. The New York Times is reporting that, according to the CDC, the HIV infection rate has increased for Black, gay, and bisexual men, which really surprises me. That in 2017, that the HIV rate has gone up for Black, gay, and bisexual men. They say that if current rates continue, one out of two Black, gay, or bisexual men will be infected. That's like 50%. That's a very high number. They think that because of all the new medications and the fact that people are living long lives, people are not being careful. They're not being as careful anymore as they should be. Because, you know, if I can take some medicine and stay, you know, healthy and stay alive, you know, why do that? Well, they're saying they think that that's the reason why. But people, protect yourselves. HIV is no joke. And I don't care how much medication there is. I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can have whatever, even if you say, I got a miracle cure for it, I still don't want to get
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
Because there are some people whose immune system doesn't respond to the medication.
Right.
Some people get it. I know two people that have had, I've known them, they've had HIV since I've known them, and that's been over 20 years.
Yeah.
And then some people get it, and they die 2 years later.
Yeah. And some people die that the person gave it to them, and that person that gave it to them is still living.
Some people, I heard, and I don't know, I haven't asked a doctor, but I heard some people are carriers of it, you know, and, you know, but it's you know, you got to protect yourself.
Yeah. And some people are giving it to other people because somebody gave it to them.
Well, that's true. You know, a lot of people have been arrested. I just saw on Facebook the other day about a guy that was going around knowingly sleeping with people, giving people HIV. So, you know, it's crazy. Now, by the way, have you guys been watching OJ Made in America? Well, the A&E channel has this new thing. They had a part one and part two called OJ Made in America. And I found out that OJ's father was openly gay. And he died of AIDS in 1985.
Wow.
Now, they say that OJ never talked about that because I guess, you know, kind of doesn't.
I'm thinking about Magic Johnson. Never mind.
Yeah, Magic. Yeah, Magic Johnson's had it for.
Do he still have it?
Yeah, you can't get rid of it.
No cure.
Because you remember one time they were saying Magic didn't have AIDS anymore.
His viral count is non-detected. But he still has. Actually, he has AIDS. But, I mean, when you were $750 million, you know, you get all the medication you want.
Okay, you have HIV doesn't necessarily mean that you have AIDS.
That's correct. HIV is the virus that causes AIDS.
Okay.
So you can be, that's true. You can be HIV for, you know, but you don't necessarily have to have AIDS.
Okay, so then that case, is it a cure for HIV?
No.
But HIV is the virus that is called AIDS or causes AIDS.
All AIDS is acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Right, okay.
So it breaks your body's
immune system down.
But it comes from HIV, the virus. It'll turn into full-blown AIDS. When your body just shuts down and all. But
can't some people have HIV but never get AIDS?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. But I know that the two people that I know has AIDS and one of them I've known for 20 plus years. Another one I've known for about 20 years. And you look and, you know, that's why I say all that stuff about, you know, skinny and sickly looking, that's not true anymore.
Exactly.
So you can't go by how a person looks anymore to determine whether or not they, you know, they're sick.
And some people don't get sick until they find out. You could have had it for so long, well, but until you actually know. A lot of people are scared to even find out.
Which you need to find out, though.
But why do they only give you two? You can only get two a year.
Two what?
Two tests.
Because they said.
Not me. I used to get my doctor. Whenever
I get two.
You mean free testing?
No, just two testing, period.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I get one once a year. I don't know about that two time.
Like, so when I was getting regular checkups, I remember, like, so 6 months and 6 months.
Well, maybe your insurance carrier only did two.
Oh.
Maybe that's what
it is. I thought it was only 6 month time frame that you do, because well, they say nothing would be different from
right, exactly. Like exactly. They say if you do... If you get tested 1 month, they say come back in 6 months, because it might not show up on the first test, but 6 months later, mm-hmm. it could show up on that test most likely. So that's why they say that. So here's a very odd story. 82-year-old Frank Kerrigan from Orange County, California, got a call on May 6th saying that authorities found the body of his son dead behind a Verizon store. His son was mentally ill and living on the street in another city, so he didn't have any, you know, contact with the son. He called the coroner's office and asked if he should come down to identify the body. The coroner told him, no. We have matched his fingerprints. And that's positive, and so there's no need for you to come. This is your son.
I thought everybody's supposed to be ID'd.
Apparently not. On May 22nd, they had a funeral for the son that cost $20,000. Mm. The father said that he briefly looked at his son in the casket. Now, like me, like I don't want my last image of somebody to be in a casket. So I can understand him kind of, you know, not really studying. And some people don't really look like themselves, mm-hmm. depending like how long they've been out, you know, like the elements and whatever. So he said that he only briefly looked at his son. On May 23rd, he got a phone call from a friend saying, I don't know how you tell you this, but your son is alive and he's standing right here beside me.
Oh, my
me.
God.
Hold up.
I figured that.
Who paid for the funeral?
The guy put the son on the phone, and the son had a conversation with his father. And no doubt that this was his son.
Yeah.
They do not know how the coroner misidentified the body. They did another set of fingerprints, and it did not match the son's.
Sue.
He got a lawyer, and he is suing. Can you imagine?
I was kin to them. Was they black or white?
White.
Yeah, this is my cousin.
Can you imagine? First of all, can you imagine getting a call that your child is dead? Mm. And then you bury the child. And then get a call saying your child ain't dead.
Exactly.
You don't spend $20,000 on the funeral for somebody else's child.
Well, they had a good funeral.
They sure did.
That was somebody in the police department that knew who this person was and wanted them buried instead of cremated.
I don't know. But
he about to be paid.
I am pretty sure that he's going to be compensated. Well compensated for that.
Let me tell you this. A family member died, and they had all decided that they were going to have this person cremated, but they had to wait for Monday. He died that weekend, so they had to wait till Monday to, you know, talk to an insurance company and all that to see, you know, how much it was. You know, it was going to be to have him cremated and everything. So that was that Monday. So this was Friday when they decided that they were going to do it, you know, talking to the funeral director and everything. So the funeral home man said, don't worry about anything, said, because it would probably be, you know, about Tuesday or Wednesday before we would be able to get word that, you know, that the insurance people is going to pay for the cremation.
Hold that thought, Miss C. I will let you finish. When we come back, we'll be back in a moment. Stay right with us. Coming back with us, Miss C was telling us about something. Continue.
About the family member that had died. Correct. And everything. Okay, remember, Friday they made the arrangements to talk with the insurance company for Monday, also coming back to the funeral home to let them know that, you know, this is what we want and this is what's going to happen dealing with the insurance. Okay, Monday, the family did talk to the insurance people, and they assured them that, yeah, he has this amount, you know, and all that, and that, you know, if you're going to do this, yes, that is enough money that you can have him cremated. So Monday, that same day that they supposed to got back with the insurance company and the funeral home, they went back, and they said what they wanted to do was to view their loved one's body again before they do the final cremation. How about they had already cremated him? Now, they didn't know if the family was going to come back and say, no, we don't want him cremated.
Right,
we're going to have the regular funeral form. Had already cremated him even before the insurance company had spoken with the family. So I'm thinking maybe they called the insurance company themselves and got the okay. But that was still wrong.
Yeah, the insurance company can't okay somebody's body being cremated.
Well,
or whatever.
The insurance company would let them know if they have coverage for the burial.
Right, but even if they said, well, they don't have coverage, the funeral home should have called and said, hey, listen, we spoke to the insurance company, and you guys don't have, you know, so we're going to go on and do XYZ.
Well, I said all of that to say this. Do you think that they have a case?
That might be a case.
Yeah, I was thinking that, and I said that to the family.
That might be a case.
You're going
right
back
there.
Up here to look at your brother, and they have already cremated him. Suppose you say we decide to go with another insurance.
Okay,
company.
Okay. So, but they told the funeral home that we think we're going to cremate.
Yeah.
But they didn't give, but they were supposed to call to confirm, we're going to go
because
on.
Because they did speak on the viewing of the body and the cremation.
Mm-hmm.
Still not, and so they found out that with the viewing of the body, you're going to have to pay to rent the casket. And to rent the casket was almost as much money as it was to buy it.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So is the family going to sue or are they just going to let it go?
I don't know.
I found this interesting article. You know, I love columns and stuff. And Ask Marilyn. You know, I have an Ask Amy. No, I have an Ask Marilyn.
Who is Marilyn?
Marilyn is somebody
She's
else.
She's Amy's sister.
She's somebody else. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Do all people have the same ability to float in water? My husband says that he cannot float because his bones are denser than mine. Could this be true? So here's her answer. The ability to float varies with many factors, some of which are more important than others. People with higher proportion of fat
can float.
Will float more easily. Mm-hmm. While those with heavier bones and more muscle mass will sink more readily. And yes, this means that women tend to float better than men. So it depends on fat and mass about floating. Like, everybody can't float.
I believe everybody can.
No, apparently it's scientific fact that they cannot. So the fatter you are, you should be.
I see a lot of fat people floating.
Well, that's what. Well, that proves the case.
So what about babies and stuff?
That's why it's so easy to teach them. But you know what?
It's easy to teach them because they don't know fear.
I took water therapy. And you know how afraid I am. Yeah, and I don't know how to swim. And the therapist told me that if you feel, because I was walking, you know, we were doing the little walk thing. He told me, and we were only in 4 feet. He told me, if you think that you're getting ready to fall.
Stand up.
Lay back.
No. He told me to stretch my legs and my arms real wide. Stretch them wide, and that would keep me from going up under the water.
Did you do it?
Why would you go up under the water at 4 feet?
How tall am I?
I don't know, but you're a foot higher than 4 feet.
Am I?
Aren't you like 5'1", 5'2"? Oh, really?
You're admitting that I'm over 5 feet now? Are you?
How about you tell us how tall you are?
I am 5'1".
Okay.
But you have always said I was like 4'5", or 4'7".
No, I have not.
What?
You can drown in a bathtub.
You sure
it don't
can.
Matter.
Oh, you can drown with a teaspoon of water.
But I don't understand what he means by if you go under.
He told
under.
Me to stretch out like a T, like an X.
Why again?
If she felt like she was going to fall.
Like if you're walking in the water and you're going to fall.
Yeah,
okay.
He said stretch out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's supposed to
keep me from falling. Keep me from going under the water.
I can't tread water, and I don't know if it's just the
your
muscle,
your density, yes,
the
that's
muscle
what
in my
saying.
Legs, and they weak. I don't know what it is, but I can't swim.
Your bones are denser. You cannot float.
I can swim underwater.
Well, yeah, but you can't float.
But when I come up, it's a wrap. Like if I swim in some water that I can't stand in and I stop, I'm dead.
When did you learn how to swim?
When I went to the beach 2 months ago, my birthday.
2 months?
You learned how to swim in the ocean? Water.
No, you know, it was in the hotel. It was at the pool. Mm-hmm. And nobody was around, and I learned how to swim.
Yeah, I don't think you know how to swim.
No, he used to be a lifeguard.
Oh, so somebody taught you how
yes.
to? Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
and
really?
And I swam from 3 feet to 9, but let me tell you
really?
What happened. So I got too excited, right, because he was like, okay, I'm going to swim beside you. I was like, no, I need you to just be there. Like, because what if you're swimming, I'm swimming, I stop, but you're still swimming, and you don't know I'm underwater. So,
well, eventually they'll come up, though.
No. I just need you to stand on the side and be ready to
but
dive.
How can he stand on the side and teach you how to swim?
Okay, so I was learning in 3 feet, so I was going back and forth. So when I got to a point where I could go from one end to the other without my feet touching, I was like, I'm ready, right? So I was still scared. So once I got to 5, I pushed off the wall and I started swimming. So I could hear him cheer me on. Just keep going, keep kicking. I think I got a little too excited, and I thought that I was at the wall because now I'm in water that I can't stand up in. I reach out. It's not funny, okay? Because I'm starting over from the beginning.
You didn't die, did you? Did you die?
Let me tell you what happened. I get to right to the wall and I can see the wall. I reach to grab the wall, but stop kicking. And I went under. I was going under, but I panicked. And I just thought, oh!
And did he come and get you?
No. The ladder was right there. I hung on to the ladder. I said, I am not swimming back. Come get me right now. Like, but I made it.
Yeah, don't go to 9 feet if you just learned how to swim.
Yeah.
Stay in 3 to 4.
But the thing is, I stopped before, because I thought I was at the end, so I grabbed the ledge, but I may have had an inch left to go, and I didn't grab that wall. Oh, my God.
That's about like when Kevin Hart thought he was drowning. Come here. And they said, stand up.
It's not funny, you guys.
But that's a good thing. You know, if you keep it up, you should be, you know,
and
a good swimmer.
And I doggy paddle.
You what?
I doggy paddle.
Oh, okay.
Doggy paddle.
But my feet didn't touch the ground.
Oh, okay.
You must be holding on.
And see, and this was a good time for me, you know, because I'm used to wearing, like, weaves and having my hair done, so I'm rocking a natural style, so I wasn't scared. And I think that's why I've been scared to learn how to swim.
You don't want to get your hair wet.
Well, see, I don't have to worry about getting my hair messed up. I'm, you know, I'm rocking natural, so I was more confident to just,
okay,
you know,
okay.
don't hate.
Ask Amy. Here we go.
I believe Amy is mad with you for asking Marilyn.
Whatever,
first of all,
whatever. Hi, Amy. My husband. Here's the thing presented to her. My husband is addicted to his iPhone. It goes everywhere with him and has his undivided attention. There was once a time it was necessary for his work, but it is no longer a necessity for that, and his time on this device has me concerned. Over the past year, it has gotten out of hand. He is always staring at his phone, whether we are at a restaurant, watching TV, or in bed. The first thing he reaches for when he wakes up is his phone. And it would be the last thing he does before he goes to sleep. Ooh. The phone is his first priority. I have tried numerous times to speak with him about how lonely I am to have him always on the phone, but he thinks I'm trying to control his enjoyment of reading articles or interacting on social media. He says it's his way of relaxing. We are a working couple, soon approaching retirement. I'm worried about what he will be like by then. Unplugged.
Maybe your pots is sour. Because obviously you're not.
Some people are truly addicted to social media and stuff like that.
What's her name?
She didn't give her name.
So no
name.
Her name
is Unplugged.
Right, Unplugged.
Unplugged. Maybe you should hide the phone.
She can't have
it. He would probably kill her.
No. Hide the phone and let him come find it.
Okay, you know what? Anyway, I
you got to put some spice back in their relationship, Eric Lee.
Well, I don't think she wants to do that. I don't think that's what she wants to do.
She
wants her husband to stop being on that phone. That's what she wants.
Okay, but she got to make it interesting.
This phone, this social media, it's destroying people's lives and marriages.
No, it's not. The people are. It's not the phone.
But because of this, you know, this social media stuff, it's destroying people's lives. And, you know, I get it because, you know, I'm big on social media and, you know, I like social media, but it's not my life.
Maybe she should take some pictures and stuff of herself while he's on it.
That's a good idea. Maybe she should send him some nudes.
She don't know his number.
Oh, she knows his number.
No,
I'm sure.
She don't.
Maybe she should send him. You know, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe she should spice things up and try to use social media, you know, as a way to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe they should act like they are
strangers.
Right.
Go on POF or something.
Maybe they should do that. Maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe they can do like Facebook, like they don't know each other, and then like they're chatting with each other, you know, the first time.
But he might say the wrong thing. Well, I don't know. It depends on the type of relationship they have.
I don't know.
Good if he's on it. But yeah.
But I think he needs to or maybe he's tired of her.
I told you them pots might be sour.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but he might be tired of her, and that might be a sign that you need to book up.
They done been together too long. They about to retire.
We ain't
just about to end this.
Well,
Unplugged, stand up for your marriage, okay? You need to do something.
And plug it up.
You need to do something extra to catch his attention. And if you've been married that long, I'm pretty sure you know a couple of things that you can do to get him plugged back
but
in.
But that's a good idea about using social media to kind of spice it up a bit. I like that. That is all the time we have for today. We thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.